Welcome to the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, where you'll get actionable tips and advice on major gifts, direct response fundraising, legacy giving, and much more from leading experts in the nonprofit sector. Now, here are your hosts of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, Andrew Olson and Roy Jones.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Andrew Olson, the host of Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, and we're coming to you today from the CityGate Network Conference in beautiful Palm Springs, California, and I have two special guests today. Co-hosting with me today is my good friend Sean Saunders from Dickerson Baker & Associates. Sean, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Andrew. Thanks for having me today.
Excited to have you on here to co-host, and really excited to have our friend Michelle Porter, who is the founder and CEO of Souls Harbor Rescue Mission in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Michelle, good afternoon.
Hello, with a four-hour time difference, mind you.
So good evening for
you.
Right. Thank you so much for joining us. We're excited to talk to you today.
Great. It's good to be here.
Before we get into some of the other questions that we've got, I'd love if you just take a couple of minutes, tell us a little bit about who you are, and tell us a little bit about the ministry.
Well, my husband and I started Souls Harbor Rescue Mission in Regina, Saskatchewan. And after about 10 years, CityGate challenged us to start a mission in the Canadian Maritimes.
Okay.
So off we went to Halifax, and we started a little mission, basically from nothing. We didn't know a soul there. We sold everything we had, and we supported ourselves for a couple of years while we worked to build up a mission that's now serving 55,000 meals annually, and we have four locations.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the Twitter version.
I didn't realize you had four locations. That's really great. So tell me this, you know, I tend to think that, you know, of the rescue mission directors, you're pretty forward thinking. You're always looking for, you know, what's the next new thing to try, whether it's program development or on the fundraising side. And you're pretty engaged in the rescue mission community. But you're also only, you know, one of a handful of female CEOs. And I got to imagine that that comes with some challenges. I'd love to hear your point of view on, you know, what some of those biggest challenges are, but also what's been most rewarding for you.
Mm-hmm. Most rewarding is just to see lives changed, obviously, because, you know, when we left Regina, they sold buildings, they canceled programs, all of that is temporal. But you know that the lives that you changed while you were there, you know, 100 plus men and women and their kids reunited, you know, off the streets, they've got jobs, and that really sticks with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's been most challenging?
Most challenging, well, probably finding people to get on board because you are starting from scratch.
Okay.
And so the second time was a little bit easier because we had a proven track record. But, you know, who are you, Ken and Michelle Porter, coming up and, you know, thinking you can start something in our city? And so it's a little bit challenging to get people to trust you. And on the client side, our guests in Halifax were really leery. They just, it took many years for them to just start opening up. But now they're coming to all of our classes and taking our day programs. So it's interesting culture-wise to see that happening across the country.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we're being honest, I think sometimes in conservative Christian ministry circles, and maybe particularly, at least in my experience with rescue missions over the last 20 years, it can be hard to lead an organization as a female.
Right.
Talk to us a little bit, if you can, about, you know, what your experience has been in that regard.
Well, I got to say, mission number one, we went the full conservative route. Ken's going to have the title of CEO.
Okay.
I will be the assistant.
Okay.
And then when Ken stepped down to do what he really loves, which is spiritual and chaplaincy work, the board decided I couldn't be a CEO, but I could be an executive director, which was odd. And there was just a different vibe after he stopped coming to board meetings.
Huh.
And so I didn't recognize it at the time, but I did have a female board member who was a very successful businesswoman who came to me privately and said, this is what you're facing. You've got a glass ceiling situation. So when the opportunity came to move to Halifax, we said, you know what? We're going to work in our strengths and our gifts. And even if it means they're more conservative, it's going to take longer for them to accept Michelle Porter as CEO. But we did it, and it's 8 years later, and the community seems to really have rallied around us.
That's great.
That's awesome.
How do you feel like the network of rescue missions, is there a greater acceptance of female leadership at this point? Do you feel like you still, like there's still a glass ceiling in that respect across the network? Or tell me
about that. Want the honest truth, Andrew?
As honest as you're willing to be.
I think Canadian missions accept it more than some American missions.
Okay.
But I do believe some of that is cultural. And so I've been here. This is my 20th conference.
Is it really?
You can believe it. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
And so people have known me for a long time. And even here, there's a trust built up. And it's like, I think they're okay with it. But I would love to see more women, you know, coming into CityGate and saying, yeah, I can lead this program or I can lead this mission, you know. Right. And if you are a woman in leadership, make sure you're getting paid what a man would be getting paid. And I don't mean to stand on a soapbox, but the reality is when I left one of my positions, the next person in line got a $7,000 pay raise. I'm like, okay, man, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm a little more wise to these things now. Before I was a little bit naive and didn't know that.
Well, Michelle, switching gears, well, not really switching gears, but I'm asking a question. I actually started an organization myself, a recovery organization from scratch with nothing. And when I say nothing, no technology, you know, you just, no money, and you can pour in your own resources, which for me was sweat equity at the time. And I was a professional fundraiser. So you did something fairly unique and just as taxing, if not more so. You've actually founded the mission that you're currently leading, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, my experience, and I want to hear from you, even if it's different from my experience, it's, you know, good to have all like a well-rounded view of things. My experience was raising money for a startup, what for me was challenging, much more so than an established organization. It was difficult because it's the chicken and egg game. It's like, hey, you go to some investors, you've got things laid out, you've got a prospectus, you've got a performa, you've done your due diligence, you know, and you say, hey, can you make an investment in this to help me launch it? And it's like, well, you go start the program and get it going, and then I'll come back and talk to me. And I'm like, well, but in order for me to start the program, I got to have the capital to do that. So you're in that like space. Did you have a similar experience, or were you guys able to navigate around that some type of way?
Oh, I definitely relate to your story.
Yeah.
And, you know, we think of angel investors in the corporate world, but nonprofits need them too.
Right.
And so it's like you need someone who will take a risk on your idea and say, yeah, that is worth investing in. And we had some people come alongside, someone who bought our building and held the mortgage for us. Right now, we have just built a 17,000 square foot thrift store. 8 years later, someone built it for us, is allowing us 10 years to pay it back without any interest. And,
nice.
You know, things like that, they just keep happening, which is how you know that you're on the right track, that you have God's blessing, and that the community's coming behind you.
Yeah, so did I hear you correctly with the store, they gave like a micro loan. Was it from an individual?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, that's and that's, you know, that's cool. That was something we were talking about yesterday, that there's this whole space out there of people who think that way about micro loans, and maybe they don't even make you pay back the money sometimes. You know, they give it to you and you're paying it back, and then they forgive some of it, stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you had a similar experience. And I like what you said about the asking the donor, someone actually purchased the building, if I heard you correctly. It seems like, what do you think about this? Do you think because they're actually buying something tangible, that removes some of maybe the uncertainty of the risk factor, or no?
Perhaps, but I mean, he actually built it for us specifically.
Oh,
and
wow.
So a building like that, I suppose you could turn around if it didn't work and sell it, but it's such a specific space to us that I do believe that it was a risk on his part for sure.
Gotcha.
But he just believed in our cause and what we were doing and our track record.
Right. Awesome. All right. So here's another question. What kind of cultural challenges have you faced in launching and scaling this organization? And, you know, cultural challenges, I think we're talking internal organizational cultural challenges.
Now that we have had a bit of an explosion the past year or so, we've doubled our staff. It just seemed like it started slow, and now there's 20 of us. There's, like, wow. I said, four facilities. Bringing in new staff who are from the corporate world has been a little bit challenging because they don't get what it's like to work at a rescue mission where you're all part of an extended family. And so it's been good once they realize that, but at first it's foreign and there's definitely some headbutting going on.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can give me an example or not, but how have you dealt with that for our listeners? Because, you know, I remember one of the greatest challenges at leading an organization for me. It wasn't once I got past getting something going and had something tangible and had a farm in place, a recovery farm, and lots of guys on it giving stories and so forth. We knew how to raise money. When I got a team together, when I had enough money to hire programs directors and stuff, it's like, oh my gosh, what, you know, you've got these conflicting personalities and trying to manage that. What guidance do you have in that area?
One of the ways that we handled that once we had all the staff, it was all September. Okay. Everybody's coming on board in September. We closed down all our facilities and had a day long retreat. And we took people through, do you know Patrick Lencioni, Hungry, Humble, Smart? We took them through that and we said, I don't care what you know as far as, you know, your intellect, but you need to be emotionally smart. You need to be passionate, hungry, and you need to be humble. And if you're all those three things, you're going to fit into our culture. Yeah. It was very, very helpful, as well as just getting to know each other, right?
For sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. In the midst of, I find many times that stuff like that where Stephen Covey calls it sharpening the saw.
Right.
You know, taking the time to do that in a setting like where you're working. I mean, let's face it, because I've done the rescue work before. It is nasty, hard work, right? I mean, it's worthwhile because you're working with people made in the image of God, but it's relationships are messy.
Yeah.
You know, and you're trying to rebuild someone from the ground up, essentially,
and
right?
And you're exhausted because you're a founder and you're just, everything is new.
You know, and when you're a leader, I don't know if you face this in your role, but in the Christian circles I've found, if it goes well, it's God. Praise God, he did it. You were just a tool. If it doesn't go well, it's you. It's your fault. I mean, do you encounter some of that or no?
Well, I'm sure I would, but yeah.
It's true.
It's a good point.
Well, I don't know if you get
it. It's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure. I don't know if you get the appreciation that maybe sometimes you know, it would be good for you to get. But it sounds like you were able to, it's, even with all that going on, step out and say, hey, this is important. This culture building activity, right?
Yeah.
And you feel like that's, it sounds like, I know, think you're going to say yes, but in what ways, a couple ways has that paid off for you since you did that?
Well, just hearing staff refer to it. Remember when we were all together and you said this? I'm like, no, I don't, but that's excellent.
But I'm glad you remember.
it just tells me that it made it a lasting impact and we probably should consider doing that once a year.
Yeah, gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the last question I have from my end at this juncture is what, you know, general tips and guidance do you have, particularly, you know, you've got someone who's wanting to start something and, you know, you look at the millennial generation and I'm on the very upper end of that. There's quite an interest in entrepreneurship.
So I can't believe you just admitted that, by the way.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. You know, I'm on the very upper end of it, right on the cutoff. So, but anyway, you know, I think it's a good thing, you know, because I'm aging every second. So what advice would you have for someone that's wanting to do something like this? Just some general guidance as they're getting started.
I would say, number one, don't do it by yourself. I was fortunate to have my husband doing it with me. We had our own savings. We were able to support ourselves. But if you are on your own with no funding or no funder or self-funding, you have to find a team or it will not work. Right. And you probably know that.
Yeah, I had a team. Right. I had three partners. And
yeah.
I say I started it. I started, you know, we had a little bit of a foundation and we had nothing, but a little bit of a foundation. And I started the recovery program, but my brother did it with me and I had two other business partners. And yeah, we pulled together and that made a huge difference.
Right. And so CityGate, formerly Association of Gospel Rescue Missions, they're now opening their doors to more, I want to say, para-mission organizations that are doing similar work to what we're doing, but wouldn't be necessarily classed as a rescue mission. So there's some, you know what I mean? There's just different partners. Find a mentor, whatever it is. I would say join as many associations as you can and that you can afford because it lends instant credibility. You've got that little seal of approval. We were, you know, joining the Chamber of Commerce or those kind, Imagine Canada,
sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Other tips would be to take care of yourself because you think you have enough energy because you're so excited and passionate. But it's exhausting work. And they've talked a little bit about that at the conference too. Good. Invest in yourself and take that, you know, daily, weekly, monthly opportunity. For me, I like to set aside a weekend every quarter and I just go and I do my own thing at a hotel. I do some rich spiritual work as well as just some visioning. And yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that I see is organizational leaders. And I've made this myself. Thinking that, like, you know, if I'm going to be a good leader, I have to always be on.
Right.
Not realizing that if you don't take good care of yourself, you can't take good care of anybody else.
Right. Well, and even like you wrote a book. Now you're always on no matter where you are because somebody's read your book. And so it's this fishbowl living that you have and you've got to set time.
That's a really great way to describe that. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
You know, if anybody who's listening to this wants to reach out to learn more or to connect with you about your experience building an organization from the ground up, what's the best way for people to reach you?
You know what? Well, first of all, check out our social media and get your own social media page and make sure they all match. So if you're, our website is SHRM, as in Souls Harbor Rescue Mission.ca. Facebook page is SHRM.ca. Okay. Twitter, you know, whatever. But that's probably an easy way. You can also just email me mporter.rescue. It's michelleporter.rescue@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Thank you again for being here today.
All right. It was great. Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Rainmaker Fundraising Podcast, brought to you exclusively by Newport One. Newport One can make a difference in your fundraising so that you can change the world. You can always reach us at podcast@newportone.com. Please take a moment to rate this episode on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. When you rate this episode, it will help more nonprofit leaders just like you to help find us and get the information that they need to raise more funds for their organization. Thanks again for listening today.